series, and the title, as you probably have already guessed, is Not I, But Christ. And it will be Not I, But Christ in life. Not I, But Christ in marriage. Not I, But Christ at work, in my occupation. Not I, But Christ at school. I don't know where it goes. We may do 52 of them. Not I, But Christ. I don't have a pre-plan. I have one this morning, and it's the most important one, and that's today's, because we may not be here tomorrow. We may not be here this afternoon. He could come at any time. And so this morning, we look at Not I, But Christ in my life. I don't want you to look at Not I, But Christ in the life of your family. I don't want you to look at Christ, Not I, But Christ in the life of your children or your spouse. I want you to look at yourself. Not I, But Christ. John 3:30 says, He must increase, but I must decrease. Galatians 2:20, there is a snippet in that, and she puts it there, and I want you to look at it, what it says. It says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And here's the beauty of that. And the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Not I, but Christ that lives in me. If you were to take that statement, not I, but Christ, and make it real in your life. Make it relevant. Put it into life application. Apply it to your life in 2016, beginning today, before you leave this room. If you were to completely surrender, you were to completely seek God's will for your life, become 100% obedient to that Christ that lives inside of you, obedient to the Holy Spirit when He speaks to you as a child of God, if you were to drop all selfishness, all ulterior motives, would your life not change before you leave this room? What would your life look like if you succumb to not I, but Christ? What would change in your life beginning today? What would change before you leave this room? What would change in the new year, the new start? What if in 2016, this morning, everyone in this room vowed to be different in the fact that you change you. Not your spouse changes you, or not you change your kids, but you change you to not I, but Christ. I want to look at a passage, for example, from Acts chapter 2, verses 40 through 47, and I'm going to read this to you, and then we're going to go back and look at three aspects that these people did, the first Christians, the first of those saved that were part of the church in Jerusalem, and with many other words, beginning in Acts 2:47, did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this perverse generation. Boy, that fits today. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added to them about 3,000 souls. That's our goal's 2,000 in a building next door. They had three in one day. And then if you look a little closer, they had five another day. 5,000. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and they had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to church, to the church daily such as should be saved. I'm going to look at three things, the first being commitment. Verse 42 says, in the ESV says, they steadfastly, that they devoted or committed themselves. If in 2016, not I but Christ, what would it look like this morning if I asked you to erase? Let's say I could, how many of you ever had an Etch-a-Sketch? You know what that is. You're telling your age, by the way. But I remember getting that first red Etch-a-Sketch with those two knobs and trying to write and all that you could do and how you could just erase it. What if this morning I could erase from your memory? I could just twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder where you are. And poof, I could erase from your mind this morning and throw out all the garbage that you think a follower should look like. What if we could erase from your mind what you think a Christian ought to be? What if this morning you could get rid of the garbage of what church world looks like and acts like? And what if you could get rid of the dressed correctly theme that church people keep in their mind, and so that you say, well, that's not a big deal. You don't understand how big of a deal that being dressed correctly is to people. There's people that are in this church because they were asked not to wear certain items in the church that they went to. But what if you could throw out the garbage of the things that is unimportant to church world, the have to look right, the have to do right, the have to be just right, and all the other right things that goes along that aren't Michael rights? And what if that was who you were this morning? And if I could erase that from your mind, and then you just become committed, like this group of people did, steadfastly committed to three things. You say, what were they committed to? Look at verse 42. It says that they were committed to the apostles' doctrine, the book. We now have it. They didn't have it. They just had to be committed to what the apostles were saying. What if you have it in black and white and you become committed in 2016 to the apostles' doctrine? What if also you become committed to fellowshipping and the breaking of bread? And then to prayer. Let's get rid of your church world. Let's erase all that from your mind. And all we're going to have to be committed to is three simple things. That's pretty easy. It would wipe out 99.999% of all complaining, all garbage, all things that go wrong in churches, all the community trash that people hear. It would fix every problem if you'd come committed to three things and do away with the garbage in your life. The apostles' doctrine, fellowshipping in the breaking of bread, and prayer. Maybe you just do one of those three things. You say, oh, it's too complicated to me to do all. Well, okay, then why don't you just do one thing? And what if you become committed to the apostles' doctrine in this book this morning? What if you just become committed to reading your Bible and to having a devotion and reading your Bible through in 2016? Or listening to someone else read it through with an app on your phone? And don't start over in the Old Testament in Leviticus. Just start in Matthew. Read the Christmas story, the genealogies. Listen to it. Go on into Genesis, or go on into Acts and Romans and 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And you just listen to it. Don't go to Revelation and try to find out what's going to happen in the future. You won't understand it anyhow. But you just start in Matthew. Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And you just start reading it through. And if you can't read, or you're too lazy, I guess that is the synopsis. But if you listen to it through, let somebody else read it to you, and you just followed it. Committed to the apostles' doctrine. And maybe yours, you say, I already do that. Then maybe you become committed to fellowship and the breaking of bread. Maybe you become committed to prayer, to a war room. To I'm going to sincerely start praying and trusting. You know what the problem with most people's prayer is? They don't believe it's going to happen when they pray it because they don't trust God for it. Linda read something to me that bless God for Chuck Lawrence and his stand. But they had a faith healing service. Now, I'm not into faith healing services, but I believe in faith healing. And if they want to have one, that's okay. I'll have one here anytime you want to. And the fact we'll set a chair and anoint you with oil and have faith and believe that God can heal whatever's wrong with you. But what if you just started praying and trusting and had the faith to believe that God's going to fix whatever that is that you're praying about? That's what these people did, those three things. That's all they did, and 2,000 and 3,000 and 5,000 people were saved and joined the church. Maybe yours is the breaking of bread and fellowship. Maybe you don't come to church half the time and you need the fellowship. You need to come and have the breaking of bread, the communion with God. That's what it symbolizes. That's what they did. They didn't have communion every time they turned around. They communed with God, that breaking of bread. And when is the last time you were at wit's end? When is the last time you were mad, you were angry, you were anxious, you were depressed, you were lonely, you were sad, you were hurt? And you just stopped it all right in the middle of it and took a walk somewhere and got alone with God. You communed. You broke bread with God. What if you did that instead of promising, I'm going to do better? What if you did that instead of unleashing the enemy in your mind with worry? What if you did that instead of fretting? What if you did that instead of throwing a fit in anger? You just broke bread and communed with God. I'll promise you it'll have better results than what you're doing. It had the results in this church of thousands being saved because they did three things. They were devoted to the apostles' doctrine. They were communing and fellowshipping with each other and with God. And they were praying fervently and believing, faith believing. You say, what do you think about faith believing? I don't think there's any other way to believe but faith. Not by sight, because without faith it is impossible to please God. It's by faith that this place is here. It's by faith that you are saved. It's by faith that we exist. It's by faith that we trust Christ to come for His own. It's by faith that in death we don't mourn, but we celebrate. There's no other way but faith. The second thing they did was they continued. And verse 42 says they continued. And most Christians' commitments and New Year's resolutions are like a hot water faucet. They last for a very short time, and then it's off again, and then it's cold. And every time you go back, you got to wait for it to get warm. What if you were committed? Run a long time. You were there, and you didn't have to wait for the water to get hot. You were always hot. It's not on and off and again. These people continued. They were there continually. And I ask you this morning, can God depend on you? Are you committed to Christ's cause? Are you committed to not I, but Christ? Are you available when the Holy Spirit speaks to you? Not I, but Christ that lives in me, of Galatians 2:20. Are you the one that whatever He asks you to do, from baptism to joining a church to tithing to giving to serving, are you the one that He can depend on? Or are you just lackadaisically saying, I'm not getting involved in that because of hypocrites and I'm running and hiding and I'm going to do whatever I want to do? No! That's not committed to the apostles' doctrine. That's not what the follower of this book looks like. They were committed and they continued. Can God depend on you? Or are you always having a reason for not doing something? Are you the pouting one? Are you the one whose lip is dragging the ground? Are you the one who is mad at the church or mad at the preacher or mad at the pastor? By the way, people get mad at me, by the way. They don't come back because of me. You understand that, don't you? And I'm not happy about it, but that's normal for folks not to like to be stepped on, not like to be led, not like to be told. Hurt. Maybe you're hurt by someone. They didn't treat you fairly or justly. You need their forgiveness or you need to forgive. I don't know, but I can tell you, you have all these reasons that I don't do what I'm supposed to do of following the apostles' doctrine. I don't do what I'm supposed to do of fellowshipping and attending church and communing with God. I don't pray and believe because of such and such. It's not I, but Christ. Not I, but Christ. Grow up. Grow up. Forgive and forget and move on with your life. Life is too short for adults to act like children. Get over it. But I wanted. When it becomes not I, but Christ instead of what you wanted, then you will change you. Nothing will keep you from being committed to the cause of Christ except your motives and your message that you resonate from you. Do you not understand that we all can find reasons not to do what we're supposed to do? When it becomes not I but Christ, your life will change. Your reasons for singing will change. The things you do will not be about you, and it will not be about I. It will not be about anything but Christ and Him being glorified. All the junk, all the excuses, all the reasons, all the lies will fade away and Christ will come to the forefront when the commitment is not I, but Christ. Your life will look different. You will change you. Your church will look different. You say, but you don't understand. I'm just who I am. Yeah, I understand who you are. You're an angry old goat that is not going to change because you won't let Christ control your life. You won't allow to forget yourself to forgive. You won't allow yourself to kneel and confess. You will not allow yourself to be committed to the cause of this church and to the mission of this church and to the Christ of this book. Because you're holding on to something that's in your past and to some need of forgiveness to some Pharisee or some hypocrite that hurt you. It's time to let go. Life is too short. You change you in 2016. The third thing that they did was they had compassion. They were committed. They continued. They did not allow the enemy to distract them and take their focus away from growing and growing the church and reaching the others with the gospel. Lord, if I started complaining about the things that bothered me around here, you all would be sick and I'd be standing here talking to myself. Life's too short to complain. Life's too short to criticize. We have one motive. Not I, but Christ. What if that was it? They had compassion. And all that believed, verse 44 and 45. Now this will upset your apple cart. This will upset the way you live. And all that believed were together, one accord. And they had all things in common. They sold their possessions and their goods and parted them to all men. I'm not an advocate or not a, you know, I'm not saying either way. You have to survive. I'm not against possessions. I'm against you having idols when your possessions control you. When your possessions keep you from tithing. When your possessions have you to the place that you can't give generously. When you can't have all things in common and help someone in need. That's when it becomes sin. Do you understand how the church is supposed to function financially? The tithes and offerings. I don't talk about it a lot because people get sick of hearing it. But shame on me. God called me to talk about it. The fact of the matter is, these people had as anyone had need. These people were about each other and others. Did you read that correctly? As anyone had need, they had compassion. Is there anything that in the lives of followers lack in this, if there is anything that the lives of followers lack in this day and age, it's compassion. I realized many years ago that what changes the you in you is compassion for others. It was exemplified right there in the early church. As many of you know, I spent 20 years, never went in a church door after being an assistant pastor and youth director at Abundant Life in Proctorville. For 20 years, I wouldn't go to church. I wouldn't even go for a funeral or a wedding if it was in the church. That much bitterness and hatred. After God spoke to my heart in that old building right over there, which has no relevance of anything, it's just where God was speaking to me at the time. First thing I did while sitting about where Dave Goodall was one Sunday morning, I thought, God, if I'm going to do this, you are going to have to change my feelings of bitterness, hatred, envy, jealousy, mad, anger. And I asked, dear God, and I came and knelt at that altar, please give me compassion again. Because you can't serve God without having compassion for all that are in need. Those that are in need of material things, those that are in need of food, those that are in need of the Savior. You have to have compassion on those that are in need, no matter what their need is. And if you are sitting here this morning and you say, I'm committed, I never miss a service. I'm committed to that book. I read my Bible vigorously. I am so committed and I'm here every week. You don't have compassion. You're missing the foundational aspect of not I, but Christ. The Bible says of Jesus that He stood with outstretched arms. I had the opportunity to stand where He stood.
You made that available to us. And pray that same prayer. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Michael and I pray it often over this church, our flock. God, please, please, please. Compassion. Compassion to those that offend. Compassion to when you don't get your way. Compassion to those that have a need. Compassion to the hungry. Compassion to the homeless. Compassion to the co-worker. Compassion to the family member. Compassion to the spouse that has offended you or been disloyal. Compassion in every aspect. It'll change your life. It'll make a difference. You'll quit being about making points. I made a point there. Jabbed you. You'll quit being about making points. You'll be about making a difference in the life of somebody. Nothing that could not be changed in your mind and your life, if not I, but Christ, become your theme. And you had compassion for those that are in need. Know anyone that needs compassion? Do you know anyone that needs Jesus? Do you know anyone that is hurting? Do you know anyone that needs some concern? Do you know anyone that needs some forgiveness? Some grace, some mercy, some love? I ask you this morning, as a church, to come to this altar. Do some house cleaning in your life. Have a not I, but Christ moment. Have Christ compassion moment. Change your agenda from what I think should be to the apostles' doctrine, to fellowship, communing with God. It will change your life if you'll just make those three things. If you'll become about this book, you'll commune with God, get yourself a quiet time. You say, well, what do you advise us to do? I don't care what you do or when you do it or how you do it, but just have it. A quiet time where you'll read a verse of Scripture, maybe just one, and say, Lord, help me to apply that to my life. Give me compassion. Help me to be committed to the cause of Christ, not my own personal agenda. Because I know God pretty well. And what I know is He knows you because He lives in you. And He loves you enough that right now, while I'm speaking to you, the Holy Spirit's saying He's right. He's right. You know how I know that? Because His word don't return void. And I don't care what I believe. I want you to get what He believes. Why don't you vow a vow to commit? Why don't you vow a vow to continue? Why don't you vow a vow this morning to be faithful in your reading, to be faithful in your fellowship and your attendance to Big Branch in 2016? Why don't you be faithful to communing with God and breaking of bread and prayer and your giving and your tithing and your generosity toward others? You know why we don't share and give? You know why people don't want to hear about God and trust Christ?
because they are tired of hearing about I. They are tired of hearing about the you. They are tired of the complaining. They are tired of the griping. They are tired and sick and tired of the cold, dead tradition and religion that churches are promoting. They are tired of folks just going through the motions. They are tired of church problems and church complaints and church splits. They are longing for folks of commitment. They are longing for folks that are continuing. They are longing for compassion. They are looking for the real. They are looking for those that make it relevant, not the perfect. There's not a perfect person in this room, and if you think there is, you've got rocks rolling around loose upstairs. And if you think you're the one that is perfect, perfect, then you got rocks rolling around loose upstairs. There is no perfect, but there is the real, there is the relevant, and there is those that apply the word to their lives. I prayed this morning one thing, that you pray this prayer before you leave this room. Not I, but Christ. And here's the caveat. Change us to chase after you and others. Change us to chase after you and others in 2016. We chase after ways. Too much stuff. We chase after fame. We chase after fortune. We chase after toys. We chase after, and I could go on and on. And we chase after agendas and motives and all the things that I want. Not I, but Christ. Change me, God, to chase after you and others is my prayer. That you pray today. Let's stand.